Okay, yeah. Tell me about your day so far.
Basically just running errands. Like I said, I'm going abroad on the 8th or whenever, but I had to just pick up so many things for all these people that want like little things. My sister wants like this paste to make like al pastor, and like everyone has all these
a hyper specific ingredient. Ask
my sister's a chef, or was a chef, and so she's got all these like little weird things. Everyone had like all these like funny requests like that I'm coming to visit, so I had to like grab all these like really random things. Like I said, my sister's having a baby, so she bought a baby monitor, and she's like, I just got one, can you go to Best Buy and pick it up? And I'm like, yeah, of course. I have like no room in my suitcase anymore.
Yeah, no, but you're now just like a drug mule, but know, for electronics mule, for
and a like store like spices.
Yeah, like fine spices,
fine
goop
spices.
Level spices is goop, what you're bringing
for
over.
Sure, yeah.
Can you bring over paste into another country?
I think so. I was really worried it'd be like a big jar, and I was gonna have to like check it in. But it's like, it's not even paste. It's like this like powder, but it's like a thick powder.
Interesting.
It's not, yeah, I don't know, I've never made al pastor, so I can't really.
Well, I wish you the best through customs.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to like explain that one, and they're gonna be like,
yeah,
baby monitor
powder, yeah. And a baby monitor could go a variety of ways.
I definitely look like I fit the bill for both. I'm already like thinking up my story of like why
you needed these things.
Yeah, I'm just like making a...
You're going to Israel?
Yeah, I'm making al pastor tacos
sketchier.
For my new baby.
It gets sketchier and sketchier, yeah.
I know. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm like worried about the next couple days. I'm like, TSA is just going to have a ball with me.
So you got to go pre-check and clear.
I keep forgetting to do that. Actually, I started the global pass or whatever.
Global entry?
Global entry. I started that.
Is that a troll to try and figure out? Like, is that hard?
It's a lot of questions.
Okay.
It's a lot of questions. I had to like input so much data, and by the time I was so tired. A coworker of mine had like a new credit card. I worked at Thrillist, and he reviewed credit cards, so he just signed up for one that gets two of your friends like free global entry. And he was like, "If you want it," and I was like, "Yeah, I guess so." I started the whole process.
Yeah.
And by the time it took, I'm the worst. It took me like months to fill this out. Something that could have taken me like 20 minutes. No, maybe an hour. But I finished. And by the time I finished it months later, I stopped working there. Our relationship kind of fizzled out. And then I was stuck like, well, I could pay. It's like $100. It's not
really
a big deal.
Yeah, it's not like crazy.
But being like free, obviously, like better. But then the like last step is you have to go to like an airport and mm-hmm. get like interviewed by whoever there. And I was living in New York, and to go to JFK.
Ooh, no.
I just.
For an errand? That's
I know.
A real commitment.
It's a real commitment. I gave up. I just gave up.
It sounds like my writing process is get 3/4 of the way through, and it's just like a few more pages
You're
to
like
get
done.
The draft. And then I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, that's me. I'm trying. I like see these people with the clear and all that stuff, and I'm like, maybe this time. And then I just wait in lines. I'm really good at just like not doing the thing and just like sucking it up later.
Yeah, just going into like a zen line mode.
Yeah, just being like, you deserve this, so just suck it up. Like,
this is your punishment.
This is your punishment. Over and over. And I fly abroad a lot.
I was gonna say, you seem like an international
traveler. I'm so bad
traveler.
About it. I'm also really bad about like points and like all this stuff. It's embarrassing. I need to do it. I really need to do
it. You got
to
get your point shit together.
Well, the guy that I was telling, my friend who writes about these things, he was like coaching me. He was like, get this card and do this. And then you sign up for that. And then you like loop it in with that. And I was like, okay, like that seems like, you know, easy and whatever. And I just.
I need points hacks. I know your relationship is dissolved, but if you want to just link me and this person,
right.
That would be great.
he flies everywhere for free. It's so obnoxious. I'm like
getting out. Well, I'm out of all my like credit card. Not that
congrats.
I really had credit card debt, but I did have a card that got canceled. And so then that screwed me. And so now I'm on like a credit card. I'm like paying retribution with like a secured credit card, but my goal is to just get like to a place of like Jay-Z credit limit.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like
I'm like, okay, guys, we've been on this like ride before, but now I'm coming back bigger and badder than ever.
Yeah. I support that.
In a few years, you'll just be like
globetrotting.
Yeah, points, totally.
First class only. I will do it. 2021 is my year.
That's good. Give yourself a my year to get mentally prepared.
My 2020 resolution is that in 2021 I'll get to it.
Yeah, you know? That's great.
Yeah,
that sounds doable.
I'm trying. I had like a no resolution rule this year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of still fitting because it's for next year. You know?
Yeah, it's a procrastination.
Very me
resolution.
A very me resolution.
I relate to that.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Babe, a podcast where I do what I want and you guys listen to it and we all walk away feeling really good about it. Today with me is probably a guest you weren't expecting, but he's here finally after about a year of anticipation. It's Oren Axe.
Hello, hello.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I was worried. I didn't know if it was like ox or axe, but I went with my gut and I think I pulled it off.
It's good. You did well. There's like no wrong way to go about it. It's a strange last name.
Yeah, no, it's good. From a strange last name person to another, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, growing up, I hated it. Now I love it. So it's kind of one of those like...
It's a strong name.
It works.
Yeah.
Like kids around me couldn't appreciate it as a kid, you know?
Mm-hmm. Those age the best, though, into adulthood.
Yeah, well, that was kind of like, I moved to America when I was like 7, mm-hmm. and I didn't speak English.
Did you move from Israel?
Yeah, so I was born in LA, and then I left when I was 3, and then moved back when I was like 7 or 8.
Okay.
But I like forgot English. And then when I came back, I was like this like kid who didn't speak English with a weird name and just trying to like fit in, you know? And kids would just call me like Orange Juice.
Yeah.
Instead of Oren, which is
my
birth name. But over the years, I like hated my name because of that. And then when Instagram like came around, I don't know what I was thinking, but I just like took the power back and like made my Instagram that name. Like Orange Juice.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Wow. I just put the two of those together right now.
There's a lot of overlap. Like my middle name is Jordan. So like my initials are like OJ, like Orange mm-hmm. Juice and whatever. And I love juice.
It's like, so you're stepping into your Orange Juice truth. You're reclaiming it.
Yeah. It felt really good too. It was like, and then, you know, at the time, me and my friends were all picking our names. It was like, no one really had like established brands yet. It was like, just, you could still change names. And it was like every week I had like a different spelling of it because like the real spelling that was taken.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like really funny, whatever, different variations. And we kind of ended my like tight group back in the day was like named it Oren, like J-O-U-S, like jus. Like mm-hmm. it was like au jus sauce. It was like a little fake French.
Yeah.
So just having fun with it, you know. It's like just weird now and it's taken on its own life and...
You know. It's like a very kind of orange or like warmer colors, I feel like, on your Instagram too.
Yeah, I mean, after like Fyre Festival, obviously with me coming up with that orange tile, I feel like a lot of people made me more of an orange guy than I already was.
Mm-hmm.
I like never really thought of the color. I was just like, yeah, it's like there.
Yeah.
My name is that and my nickname, whatever, but I never really put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And these days I just kind of like run with it. It's just funny to me.
Yeah. Know?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Speaking of Fyre Fest, for anyone that's like, I know this year has moved so fast. Like Fyre Fest seems like it was a million years ago.
I mean, it's almost a year ago. Literally, it was like the documentaries came out January 25th or 18th or something.
Yeah, so it's we're coming up on like the 1 year anniversary of your like film debut.
My viral debut, yeah.
How do you feel looking back on
this year,
this past year? You kind of ushered in the year of the scam.
Yeah, you know, it's really funny that you say the year of the scam, because I never really, we were just talking about how I don't really watch like movies and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but a lot of people have hit me up since and were like, because I was involved in like, you know, obviously I was the designer behind it all. I wasn't the scammer.
Mm-hmm.
But
for any context for readers to refresh their memory, you were the designer that worked on the Jerry Media team to come up with like the logo. And then you helped run social media.
Came up with the strategy and the design and the branding and the orange tile like campaign and strategy.
For Fyre Festival.
Yeah. So, it's been interesting to be looped into like the scam world, because I didn't know it was a thing. And then people started DMing me being like, hey, did you see this like other documentary, or like, have you read this book or like heard this podcast about like scammers? And I'm like, you know, I don't really do like, this isn't,
you don't identify
I don't
as a
usually
scammer.
Like have scam things in my life.
Yeah.
So it was like a very funny conversation to have with people where it was like something that I was discovering with them. And then the whole like serial killer world got looped into it. There's like all these documentaries and podcasts on like scammers and serial killers and like whatever. And I'm like,
yeah, it's a spectrum of like con artistry
of just like shady people.
Yeah.
And I just like don't fall into that crowd. So no. I learned a lot. I learned a lot this year, a lot about that world, a lot about myself, a lot about a lot of things.
Did you engage in that culture then after like people brought it to your attention? Did you engage with any of the like big scams of the year?
You know, it's funny because
like media around those,
there was I usually stay away from like negative things. I'm a very like, I like to like consume positive things.
Yeah.
But there was one girl who went viral like at the same week as me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anyone has heard of Caroline Calloway.
Oh yeah, this readership is well versed.
Oh really? You guys know her?
Yeah.
So
I have a standing invite for her to come on the pod. So.
Oh, I wish I would have known. She was just in town, or like up 2 months ago. Whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I like ended up in a tagged photo or something by her. I have no idea how it all started, but basically me and her started DMing like the same week, being like, oh hey, you went viral and I went viral, and like you're a scammer and I'm like involved with
scam adjacent.
Yeah, so all of a sudden we were like viral buddies, and I didn't really know anything about her, and I was just watching like the internet like tear her apart and being like, what is going on here? And just being like really confused in my world, and then really confused about her world, and then just like, I don't know. So that was, I think, the closest it got. And then I went to, she invited me to dinner at her place, and like her famous thing is like,
yeah, like salad on the floor.
Mm-hmm. She was really nice. Like, I know a lot of people like tear me apart probably for saying that. I've like gotten hate DMs for like being for even just like talking to her. It's really kind of sad. Just the internet's kind of mean, but
yeah,
she's nice. I mean, she's, I get like what everyone, I don't know, I'm not gonna talk bad about her, but yeah, I'm not in touch with her, but she was in town and we got like coffee. It was not, you know,
but that was like, that was kind of the initial. And like later, because I'm pretty well aware of like the ins and outs of why people were calling her a scammer too,
of course,
which like
of course
later on it was not, it's not a scam on par with, it's not on par, it's not a scam, I don't think. And it's not,
she's just,
she's a whimsical lady that just doesn't really know what she's doing, but lives her life in a public, lives her life in like a public sphere.
But I will give her credit for handling this year very well.
Yeah.
She has turned her situation into a very good situation, whereas I kind of fumbled. I was like very overwhelmed.
Well, so let's like, do you mind walking through like the aftermath of the documentary or anything?
Yeah, of course.
How did you decide to get involved with it?
So when I was quitting, this pillow is really furry. I like
They're like two animals.
I love it. I'm gonna just pet this pillow as we talk. So when I was quitting Jerry Media, I knew, I like was seeing on the calendar that they'd have all meetings with execs of to like discuss a documentary. And mm-hmm. we kind of said we would make a documentary the night the festival collapsed, when we were already there. We yeah. like kind of had this thought. Months later, I would see it on the calendar in the office, and I wasn't getting an invite. And I was like, none of you did anything on this account. How are you going to make a meeting without me? And as I kind of was heading out the door of like quitting, I started to feel like they were really picking up steam on that. And so when I left, I just disconnected from them. I was mm-hmm. like really grossed out by them. And then I read an article, I think on Billboard. It's like Billboard or Hollywood Reporter or something, whatever. And that article was mentioning that Hulu is working on another documentary that's also involved with like, but not involved with them. Like it yeah. was like an opposing documentary. And I just lost it. I was like, why does like this subject matter, like why is this relevant? Why are there two documentaries? I was just like, this is so stupid. People are so weird. and so I was like, you know what though? Like this is annoying. And I was also like struggling with my own career after, like I was freelancing, so it wasn't like glamorous, but I was like just getting annoyed as a broke freelancer that two mega corporations are about to like make a ton of money off of my hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And I seriously worked, I've never worked harder in my life than on the campaign of fire.
Yeah.
From conception
into the like launch and the design and everything.
For 6 months, I didn't sleep. I just stayed in the office. Like I would like sleep on the couch in our back office.
Yeah. Your whole life was working on like launching everything. This festival that was supposed to be yeah. like Coachella on an island.
Yeah. And then, you know, to get like
the biggest,
to find out your like client's a criminal is a horrible feeling. Like I yeah. felt like I was, you know, whatever. So
had contributed to it in some way, shape or form.
Yeah. I took on a lot of guilt, but also like mad that I was kind of like
bamboozled,
like, taken for this ride. And like, I worked so hard for it and whatever. So, I really kind of got mad seeing that there's another documentary. And again, like nobody in my office worked on this account. So it's 100% me. And yeah. now there's two documentaries about my work. And I'm like, no one called me. No one's thrown me even a dollar about this. So I went on LinkedIn and I just hit up everybody that was mentioned in the article. Every producer, every director. I hit up the CEO of Billboard. I hit up everyone I could like find that was associated somehow. And funny enough, the only person who responded to me is actually the CEO of Billboard,
mm-hmm.
which is like, I would never assume that guy would be checking his LinkedIn, but he...
Everyone has a dark LinkedIn truth.
I respect a person who is active on LinkedIn. That is an underrated platform.
It really is. That's when I've been down and out, like between jobs or anything, I turn to LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's
and
really
I
powerful.
Always get something comes yeah. up. Yeah. yeah,
it's really like if you use it right, I'm a firm believer. So I did, and he answered me within like 30 minutes. I'm not even kidding.
Amazing.
It was crazy. And then he goes, "I'd like to get on a call with you," and I was like, okay, like not really expecting that, you know. I was just kind of like
mm-hmm.
venting earlier, and so now I'm like, I have a phone call with the CEO of Billboard, and I'm like, what do I actually say? And like, he's on the line and he goes like 10 seconds in, he's like, "Thanks for taking this call. I'd like to loop in the director or the producer," I forget who it was. And I'm like, wow, this is like escalating. And the conversation really took off, and then I'm like, yeah, I have everything. I have like, seriously, you're talking to the festival. Like I'm the festival. And so they were like drooling, and then it just like was a really symbiotic relationship where they were looking to tell the story from like a whistleblower stance, and I was the whistleblower. Like mm-hmm. I didn't want to be part of the Netflix documentary because I felt like it was just dirty, and they were like trying to like whitewash their actions. And in the time between quitting and that conversation on the phone, I went abroad for a few months. I was in Asia. And when I was in Malaysia, I was in Kuala Lumpur for a few weeks, just like trying to pretend like I live there. And I started talking to this woman through a mutual friend. The guy who actually got Fyre Festival verified, this contact of mine, he had this like friend who was like a Vice reporter, Gabrielle Bluestone. And then she was interested in talking to me about Fyre. She told me she was interested in discussing it because she was writing a book about like the Russian election meddling and kind of like the power of social media and all these kind of like really interesting topics that I found relevant and really kind of something that I found to be more relevant than just talking about like models and bikinis in the Bahamas. You know, I thought there was a bigger situation that people weren't really thinking about with this whole fiasco. And so I would talk to her every day. I would stay up all night because I was in Malaysia and like her time zone was off. And I was like really giving her an all access pass to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, we would get so deep that she was like, I'm writing this book. I'd like to give you like two chapters. And I was like flattered, you know, whatever. Fast forward a few months, she ghosted me and I started feeling really weird. I was like, listen, I've given you a lot of information, a lot of like text messages and whatever that I don't feel comfortable that now you have, and you're not talking to me anymore. You mm-hmm. haven't been like telling me what's going on, where you're putting this, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, sorry. Like I'm here, blah, blah, blah. But then it turns out that she was one of the producers of the Netflix documentary.
No.
So she like tricked me.
Oh my God.
And then I was just really mad. I was just like, this documentary is just like,
yeah, fuck that.
Fuck that. Everybody involved is just trash. And I was like, definitely hitting up Hulu. So that's kind of the beginning of it all. And then, you know, they flew me out like a few days later, like to interview in New York. And then like, I didn't tell anybody why I was in New York. I was so scared.
Mm-hmm.
I was like shaking when I was like talking to my like friends, and I was like, oh, I'm just here for like fun. And I actually was like, during my interview, I was supposed to grab dinner with like two ex Jerry Media employees who quit before me even. And I was like 3 hours late to dinner. And when I got to them, I couldn't even tell them what I was doing. I was just like so nervous. I was like, they're going to tell Jerry Media people. Like, I just didn't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Even like close friends and like whatever. So so that was kind of the lead up.
Stressful.
And I interviewed.
Like a solo stress journey.
Yeah. And like no one really understood it. Like my family kind of. Like, I talked to them, and they'd be like, get over it. Like, you didn't do anything. And I'm like, okay, it's really easy to say that, but you're not letting me kind of be, like, feel the feeling I'm feeling. Like, you're not letting me just be.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't talk to them so much, because they just kind of dismissed it, or would be like, just get over it, move on, get a job, do something else. But I was shook, and it was like a year later, I was still, like, reeling. And so I interviewed in, like, August or something, and then I moved abroad. I moved to Tel Aviv just to like change careers. I wanted to just paint. I was like, I'm stepping away from the computer. I'm going to be a painter.
Yeah.
And because I illustrate. So I was like, I'm going to start learning how to like large scale paint my digital, like little Instagram size stuff. I wanted to like do murals and like whatever.
Yeah.
A fresh start. I had friends out there, but I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I just wanted to be by the beach. And then while I was there, in January, the documentary came out, last January.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was from August to January, I just buried my head in the sand and like pretended like I never existed in the US, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the internet like was like all over me, and I like had no, I thought honestly when I interviewed that nobody would watch the documentary. First of all, I was like, no one watches Hulu. Second of all, I was like, nobody was going to care about these documentaries. Like, nobody cared when it collapsed. And so I was like, no one's going to care about two of these.
But no one cared when it collapsed. What do you mean? Everyone cared, I feel like. Like, yeah, it was like an internet sensation.
Yeah, only if you were in like Miami or New York, or like if you were like really in the know. It was a very weird phenomenon. Like it wasn't as big as when the documentaries came out, let's just put it that way.
Like those reignited,
those really, a lot of people were like, I've never heard of this, and now I'm like fascinated.
Yeah, because I remember when Fyre Fest was happening, someone had texted me and was like, you need to like check out this thread or whatever on all this. And it took me a long time to like figure out what exactly was happening. Yeah. And then it was like funny. And I guess then it was just gone. You don't really think about it that much. If you're really, totally disconnected from it.
It really passed overnight. It was so weird. I really felt like it was like bigger. I came back on a Sunday night from it.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the last people off the island. And when I came in on Monday to work, I was like so scared that somebody died. It was like my biggest fear. I was like coming in and I was like going to do like I wanted like a debrief. I was like asking my CEO for like a debrief so we can like talk. I was still so like, my head was in space. And he was just like, get over it. We lost $1 million. Let's move on. You have new clients. Go to work. And I just was like ignored. And so it just felt like nothing happened.
Yeah.
And I was like, but everything just happened. Like I was
like, this is a huge like fucking deal that this thing didn't work out and like was such a failure just for in terms of the company that you're working for. Right.
It was
to have something like that happen.
Well, we didn't have any other clients. They hired me as the first designer because I had like experience in bigger campaign stuff. So for me to take on that alone was it made sense for me to take that account, but there was nothing before that was like a campaign. Like everything they were hired to do beforehand was like post this meme for Burger King.
Yeah.
Like that's as big as it got. And so I basically carried the company for like 6 months until we got like real clients after. But I nobody cared. It seemed like the public didn't care. And that's why I was like, I don't know what to do with my like career now. I don't know how to like show a 6 month gap in my portfolio. Like I can't show that whole project, you know?
Yeah.
So I've been working for 6 months and I have nothing to show. If I quit right now, I have nothing to show.
Yeah.
And so I had to stay. And then it was just like I said, when the documentaries came out, it was just this whole new wave of energy around it. And then the internet made it viral. And then people were like DMing me nonstop and all these like news agencies. And like, I just had no idea what was going on. And I was like on a different time zone. So I was like up all night, like trying to like just navigate, you know, I'm getting like a million DMs a day and I'm trying to like just talk to everybody and sort like who's relevant and who's not. And some brands want to work with me and I'm like broke and like, I'm like a starving artist at this point. I'm like, oh my God, brands like want to work with me.
Painting in Tel Aviv.
Like. I know, but like certain outlets wrote about me like, and I was also like about to go visit my friend in Barcelona. It was pre-planned. There was no, you know, relation. But the media picked up on it and were like, Fyre Festival designer like runs away and moves abroad. Like they just reworded my whole life as like this like failure. And I was like, what the hell is going on here? Like my whole life is like on the internet right now. And people are like, want to talk to me. Like strangers want to like, girls are like asking if I'm single and I've been like single like forever and I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, but you got a lot of female attention. I even said on this podcast, I was like, he's so hot, was like talking with Jake Shears, both like going off.
Oh, yeah, I remember
but that. Like that would be jarring.
It was very flattering.
That would be like the best part of
what was crazy. I like really never experienced that attention, you know. I mean, going viral is a very interesting thing, especially like again, and people
like you're not because I've gone viral for like funny stuff that I've done, but I haven't gone viral for like when I didn't want to go viral. So yeah, I mean, imagine that would really throw me into a full psychosis.
I was not ready. I was not ready. And I honestly, I'm like, no one's ready for that. I feel like there's no way to prep for it. But like the last year I've been trying to like navigate my own freelance career now post and just being able to like leverage that or just the connections I've made because I've met some very interesting and very nice people since. And it's still very hard. I'm still trying to figure that out because I don't really want to be working on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a balancing act of like, it's like a blessing in disguise for sure. But it's also like, now what? And a lot of people I will again give Caroline Calloway like credit because she's been writing a book since. She's like about to publish it. And when we went viral the same week, I had people reach out to me and say, you should write a book. And I was like, I don't have time. I'm like, you know, I'm barely handling like emailing everybody back. Like,
yeah. It's not the thing to try and do if you're really not ready or wanting to do it.
I kind of was into it. Once I thought about it, I was like, this is a good idea. Mm-hmm. And then, 'cause a lot of the things that actually went down weren't discussed in the documentaries. Like, there's a whole nother, like, I could totally write a book and it'd be, you know, full of unheard stories. But at the time, it seemed like a monumental feat. And I've never written more than, like, an essay at college. You know? Yeah. So I spoke with a bunch of, like, editors and publishing houses and, like, this, like, the Stephen Colbert Show. And, like, they were, like, talk to us in a year. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how to write a book. Like, I guess. So I fumbled that one, too. Like, I could have published a book right now, but whatever.
Well,
I still could. You still can.
And hindsight's like 2020 on that.
Yeah, I'm not like too bummed. I'm like working on a bunch of cool stuff since. So it's been interesting. I still don't know where this goes. It's not over yet. But mm-hmm. It's been like it's definitely been a fun year.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm here talking to you right now, which is like one of my favorite things is like the people I've met
mm-hmm.
and like the micro relations that I've made, like people that I'll probably never meet, but are like DM me like still like daily.
Yeah.
It's like weirdos, not weirdos. They're cool. They're like people that just the energy between us is like, oh, you're cool. I'm cool. Like that's cool. And let's just like stay in touch. And we literally just DM each other every day now.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I don't know.
The best part about putting yourself out there, like totally. Having yourself out there is making connections with people. Yeah. But then there are really also bad parts to just like being out there.
I mean, so far, so good. People have been really nice. I've gotten like a few people that are like mean about it or like said some like nasty things. And I usually like will talk it out with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't think you get my role. I wasn't the guy who scammed everyone. And then I have to like walk them back. And then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. You're right. Like, and then we're like buddies. But, it's just been, it's been mostly good people.
Yeah.
And like, I met this guy who lives, he's like this really talented painter, and he lives like next to where I live now, which is so random. And he's like a very successful painter. Now we're buddies. We hang out. I just moved back to LA in August, so it's good to have like new friends, and he's like a really cool dude. And you know, I'm like dating someone now that came through all this.
Really?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So it's just like really small little bonuses to my life that I've just been very grateful for.
Yeah. It was a shift that maybe needed to happen.
Yeah.
That was like fortuitous in some ways.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes in my life I get pushed by life. Like mm-hmm. I have like this grand, like I used to have a grand plan of staying in New York and just taking off my career, you know? And then after the whole fire thing, I like stayed for like six more months. Just I couldn't really afford to quit fire, like after fire.
Yeah.
So I stayed another 6 months, and then I had like this psychotic roommate, and she got us evicted.
No.
And I had like 30 days to look for an apartment, but I also wanted to quit my job, and I was like, my whole world was collapsing, and it just was like a perfect moment of like New York just was like, all right, you need to get out.
Yeah, you're done here.
You're done here. Your time is done. And I've never looked back. Like, I love New York. I would totally move back for the right circumstance. But it was just like that moment in time where the universe was like, go forth, my son.
Yeah.
And now I'm in LA, like after, again, I moved back to, I tried to keep going back to Tel Aviv after going like after the docs came out, but it just didn't make sense because then all the work was here.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find work out there even as like a painter and whatever.
I mean, it was hard to find work as like a painter. Yeah.
It's just hard to start from scratch in any city and mm-hmm. then to just be like, I have this new career also is, I don't know. So lots of like things there were great but didn't work long term, and you know, then the universe was like, you need to get back to LA. And I haven't lived here in like 10 years. I was born and raised here, but I haven't lived here in 10 years. So the universe pushed me back here in August, and I've been here since. And I like I said earlier, I think I'm staying.
Yeah.
And like work's been good. I'm dating someone here now, and everything's just like here. And I was not expecting to live in LA at all, and so you know, so things are just happening. I don't know. And I'm just kind of like on this ride, and I'm not even like, I'm not complaining, but I'm just like not in control and I'm totally loving it.
Yeah.
Know?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your relationship with like control? Do you have fear of the unknown, or are you like a control? You seem pretty like
Actually very much both.
Yeah.
I'm very much a control freak when it comes to like specifically like design stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or like
you have a vision.
Yeah, like I tried hiring recently some designers. And I paid them a bunch of money, and this is the first time that I hired a designer, because I had enough work that I was like able to like spread it. And then I realized that they're not, and they were very talented. I hired people that I found to be like award winning, and I was like very impressed by them. That I was like, you know, I don't have to like stand over them and just let them do their thing. And then it turned horrible, and my control freak stepped in. And I like fired them and then had to do the whole project by myself.
Yeah.
So that was not, you know, that was me trying to let go mm-hmm. and not being able to. Or I don't know. They just really didn't do a good job. But when it comes to like other things, I'm very much like go with the flow. Like my girl, she like hates that about me because she like makes lists and she plans. And I'm like, why? Like, we'll like just find a great restaurant. We don't have to like do research like 2 weeks before we show up somewhere like to... So it's like funny where I do control and where I don't control,
mm-hmm.
but
career was always like a controlled thing for you, or like the vision.
I had a vision of where I'd like to be, but that changes too. Like in college, my vision as a graphic design student, I was like, was so small to what I think of now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think the possibilities were so big back in the day. And you know, my vision in school was like, I'd love to design like a shopping bag, so when I'm at the mall I see everyone walking with it, or like you know. And that was for me like such like a joy to see like my stuff in public, and then I'd see it and then it'd get bigger and my vision got bigger, and then you know, like now I've seen myself in a movie, so I'm like, it just, I feel really inspired by my own like path that I didn't really control though.
Mm-hmm.
Like my career has been kind, like I've obviously applied to the jobs, but then the like thing that happens next like was totally out of my control.
Yeah.
So I'm good at being able to just enjoy the ride and not being like, oh my God, what have I done? Like this is not according to my plan. And like,
you find a way to like, to deal with it. That's not like a total shut down. Like it's like going to Tel Aviv painting and just being like, well, now I'm gonna do this.
That's
and like,
just it. Yeah. I try to just be like, the cards have been dealt, let's just be as happy as possible about it. Like mm-hmm. I'm very positive. I've been through, like, even before all this, I've been through a lot in my life.
And yeah, because I was gonna, my next question was gonna be like, have you gone through something like this before where it's like you've been just thrown a curveball like that?
I've had some curveballs.
Not in terms of career stuff per se, but just like in life. Like I feel like your reaction comes from like a seasoned experience of having this kind of
stuff. I got shipped off to boarding school when I was like 15.
Get out. So I did too.
Oh, really?
When I was 17. Was it a bad kid boarding school?
Yeah, bad kid boarding school.
Stop.
Yeah.
What school?
I don't want to talk about it.
Are you serious? No. Oh my God. Wait. I truly didn't even know this.
Cut the mic. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
So like those years were very mentally draining as like a 15-year-old. And I remember just being like around a bunch of kids that like just couldn't handle it. And just seeing all the people around me just like shut down or like, you know, kind of like take on a different personality of like what the school is kind of like pushing on them. And I really was able to like find this like zen place inside to like stay me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was a 15-year-old who, like before I even got shipped off, I knew I wanted to be a graphic designer. When I was, like, 15, I found that out. And no one believed me. They just thought I was, like, talking out of my ass. Like, he wants to be an artist. Okay.
Yeah.
And so this whole time, I was like, I know who I am. I know what I want. These adults don't get me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to kind of, like, wrap myself in like not tinfoil, like this like safety blanket throughout this like 2-year journey, and just, you know, I call fake it till you make it, basically pretended like I was like totally, you know, going with what they were telling me to do.
You just play the game,
pretended like I was like a changed man, and like, I mean, I was like definitely like, I've changed for sure through that, but I think I'm still very much me, and like the things that I wanted are still very much like what I want now. And it's always been like, what the ultimate thing that came out of that was my appreciation for my freedom, the freedom to just be able to like go and travel or like listen to music, 'cause I wasn't allowed to back then. Mm-hmm. And like, just little things in life. Like, I take freedom very, like, seriously. And so now when I'm, like, you know, when I move abroad or I travel a lot, I'm, like, that for me is, like, my reset button.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And now that I've heard you talking about, like, appreciation for freedom and stuff, because I have a lot of that, too, and I really thought that it was just because I was, you know, a double Gemini or something.
Oh, but
then
you?
I was, like, it probably has a lot to do with being sent away and living in one place for 2 years where you just like are completely cut off from the rest of the world.
Yeah, I definitely like, I swore to myself, I mean, this is like something I don't really do anymore, but I swore to myself after, I was like, I'm gonna go to so many shows when I get out. I was like, I'm gonna go to all the concerts.
Yeah, listen to all the music.
All the music.
Oh God, I would just like turn on, they called them like pop-offs at my school.
Okay.
So that was like any band or music that you're not allowed to even speak about. And if you'd get in trouble, right, for any readers that are listening, if a counselor hears you talking about a band right that's considered a pop-off, you get dishes.
Yeah, yeah,
or get like in a bunch of trouble.
Yeah.
I would just be at home and like driving around after I graduated and just like blasting music.
Totally, same. Towards the end there, I got like a home visit and I like snuck in a, it's like an iPod Shuffle or like something that's like so teeny tiny.
Mm-hmm.
I
like the little tiny, it in like, my, like square one.
Yeah. I like stuck it in this like little secret pocket. And so I would be like under my covers in my room, just like listening to music for the last couple months that I was there. And like, I only trusted like one other person to know that I had this because it was like the end of my life.
Oh, you know? You would have gotten kicked out probably.
Oh, no, but I had to stay longer.
Yeah.
I had to stay longer because I got caught smoking weed there.
Wait, what school did you go to? Can you say the name of it?
I guess. It got shut down, actually.
Mine did, too.
Oh, really? So
did you go to Carlbrook?
No, I got sent to Mount Bachelor Academy.
Oh, I went to Cascade.
Where's that?
It was in Northern California.
Cascade sounds familiar. Mine was Redding. In Oregon.
Is yours part of the CEDU school group?
That sounds really familiar. I think so.
Maybe. Did it get shut down in like 05 or 06? Or when did
it? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's kind of when I was there, I think.
Mine was, and I graduated in December of 2003, and January of 2004, 1 month after I graduated, it was done.
I think, we were like around the same time. It got shut down like a year or so after.
Okay.
Maybe less. And that
I
was like a whole nother thing.
If you want me to beep it out,
it's fine. Whatever.
Okay. I think they are still scared of.
I'm not scared. I just like, I know the internet now, and I'm like, someone's gonna Google this. Someone's gonna like go deep into my.
They're like, he had a fucked up childhood. We knew it all along.
I mean, I was just like a kid who like didn't go to school because, like, again, I knew what I wanted. So, like, as a 15-year-old. To now be like, oh, you now have 4 more years of this stuff that doesn't matter because I'm going to go to art school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was already, I shut it off. I was just like, we're done here.
Oh, so you were like, you like refused to go to school or?
I used to go to like, so I used to go to school in the Valley. And there was like this one bus that was like right in front of my school that ran down Ventura Boulevard,
mm-hmm.
which is like one straight line across the whole Valley. And I used to have like a carpool and they would just drop me off And I would, like, you know, wave goodbye and, like, wait for them to leave and just U-turn before entering the doors and just, like, wait for the bus. Take it to Universal Studios because I had a year pass. And I would just go to Universal Studios, like, all the time during school. And I would, like, come back before my carpool would pick me up and pretend like nothing happened. And I had, like, friends who would just tell me, like, what the homework was. And I just, like, would go to the movies, or I would go into the city and, like, just, like, be a tourist. Like, I just was, like, doing my own thing, you know? Yeah. Like, I was just this kid.
You're like a little, like, man. Like,
I've always been that way. Just
being, like, on an adventure.
Yeah, and then I, like, I, like, corrupted other kids to, like, come with me. And, like, so I was always just, school was, like, I liked it. I love learning. Yeah. I still would love to go back to get a second degree. But it's just, it was just not what I wanted, you know? Like, not the education that I found relevant. So I think it all ties together. Like, it all, like, my whole life has all had, like, one reoccurring theme of, like being ambitious, being, like, free to do what you want, and, like, you know, just have fun, I think, are, like, the three tenets of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think, like, I don't know, like, fire has just been funny to me just because of, like, I've been able to navigate this moment just because I was able to navigate other moments in my life, and just being, like, cool, calm, collected because we've been through bigger things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Fire was pretty big. I can't tell
Yeah. I mean, that's such a different feeling it must be to, like, care about something so much and work so hard and then have it be, like, your hard work and stuff is, like, unusable as...
Well, now it's really cool because, like, the documentaries kind of shed a new light on this. So yeah. It went from being this, like, untouchable thing,
mm-hmm,
where, like, I'd be in meetings and certain people would be like, don't talk about this. Like, yeah. If, like, an employee would bring me in to talk to their boss to, like, get me into a project, they'd be like, just show him everything else. Don't show him the fire thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, it's really good. Just don't show it to him. You know? And I'd be, like, ashamed, or I'd be like, I don't know how to, like, spin this. I was like, even though I just did the, like, design, it's not, like, the actual, like, I'm not talking to investors. I'm not, like, defrauding investors. I'm just a graphic designer. Yeah. So I was, like, having to, like, walk this very fine line. But then the documentaries did the kind of, like, explanation for me,
mm-hmm,
or at least opened people's mind to there's more to the story. It's not just one person doing this whole thing.
Yeah.
So, again, blessing in disguise, because I didn't have to, like, explain myself. And it's a really good way to now be able to talk to anybody, and then they get it, even if they're not from, like, a marketing or design background, they get it because they've heard about it, they're seeing it, they're like, okay, this thing's big, you're part of it, obviously you're not in jail because you were a criminal, so I can understand, even on simple terms, that your part was, like, you know, obviously design. So it's been really good, again, just for clearing the air, and now I'm able to, like, bring this to a meeting or even pitch it. I sometimes will, like, I just recently pitched a music festival reached out to me to, like, you know, do a proposal for them, and I don't really do music festivals now. Like, it's not, like, my thing that I keep doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't mind, but this one festival was, like, the woman who brought me into the whole thing was, and this is the funny switch, is that she was trying to get me to show this, like, pitch deck to her boss, but she was like, talk about it. So now I'm getting those people who are bringing me in through the door aren't trying to hide it anymore. They're trying to, like, have me, like, you know, showcase it.
Yeah.
So it's a really nice feeling to, like, not have to hide it or lie about it or, like, feel slimy or be like having to, like, put it, like, parentheses in my emails being like, I swear I wasn't a criminal, like, trust yeah. me, you know.
No, that's it was a blessing to, like, have it come around like that, and, like, almost you got justice in the end.
I feel like I got justice on many levels. I mean, even my past employer just being like, you know, there was, like, the whole fuck Jerry thing, and people kind of, like, had enough of hit of the way that my old employer operates. Like everything in that company was based off theft. Like I used to bring in lawyers and being like, we don't have lawyers, but our whole business model is based off of theft. Like memes are, I'm a graphic designer. Like for me, copyright and like IP is very serious. Like,
yeah.
If anyone rips me off, I'm so mad. Like this is my like blood and like, you know, sweat and tears. So when my whole like company around me is based off of the opposite of that, I had a very hard time mentally switching to this, like everything is fair play. You just take it and don't think about it.
Yeah. So, and how do you reconcile that?
I mean, I was living in a bubble, like for a while, like working there was like the greatest job of my life. You know, like I got paid.
It's exciting. It's like one of the biggest Instagram accounts for a while.
We were the first, well, we called ourselves a social first agency. And that was, I think, a first as of its own.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very exciting time to kind of be writing the rules of a new ad agency or whatever. Like I have 2 degrees, one's in graphic design and one's in advertising. I've never stepped foot in an ad agency after getting that degree.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry Media making memes is as close as as close as it gets for my very expensive art school degree to like apply to making memes that were ads, you know.
Yeah.
Like these memes were like funny, but they have a purpose to sell,
mm-hmm,
or whatever, convince you or get you to do something or go somewhere, whatever. But as a graphic designer, I found that interesting because I'm not a painter like I wish I was. Graphic design is a commercial art. The purpose is to sell. So you're not just painting for beauty. You're like creating with a purpose. So I found it really interesting that memes were almost kind of like an extension of like branding, and kind of like there was like some thread that I found really interesting, and we were kind of paving this whole new industry. Like meme marketing was like our bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was really into it for a very long time. But after the documentary, after the whole Fyre Festival thing, I really felt dirty there. I was just like, this place is not what I remembered. And the people have changed. They went from being like, let's just do something great to like, let's just make money at all cost.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't fit that, like my ideals don't fit that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all for making money, but I don't feel like making money on like in the, like off other people's back.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't need to do that is the thing.
Right.
There's I think there's a real, like the people that I've known in my career in life that have modeled their careers as doing that have been people for the most part that they need to do it because they they don't have what I have, which is like, and what you have, which is a creative ability to like generate and a vision and
the original
and talent.
Right.
And just like for me to steal from someone else would be, there's no honor in that.
There's no honor. And but I also would as feel, a creative.
Yeah. I would feel like a fraud.
Yeah, it's hard because you, on one hand, are creating original work. Like, I still illustrated on my own free time on my own page and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's like, at night, I'm creating, like, original artwork, but during the day, I'm stealing people's hard work. And so...
Yeah. There's a dissonance there. It, like, doesn't...
It doesn't make sense.
Or it kind of, like, is always at war with itself.
Yeah, and I just, like, I felt good leaving, and then when... After the documentaries, when the whole fuck Jerry thing happened, I was like, interesting, you know, finally, like, people on the internet are, like, picking up on this. People are, like, speaking up. There's, like, power behind, like, the masses. First of all, there was, like, it was very, very beautiful how, like, GoFundMe accounts were made for all the people that were affected by it.
Yeah.
You know, then there was the second wave of, like, you know, the backlash against fuck Jerry, and then just... All these different like elements of like you said, vindication. Like I'm not out there looking for like, you know, burn the place down. Obviously, like those guys have children and families and all, everything. So I don't want people to like suffer, but I'm definitely like happy that the world has woken up to just like how things are operating and how memes are actually like not just, it's not a joke. I mean, it is, but you're like, but at whose expense sometimes, you know?
And on especially like bigger accounts like that, right. That are
or for profit, even that are on for smaller. Profit,
yeah, that yeah. are using these memes to like to get you to click on the link in bio and buy whatever it is they're selling, is like, what have they actually done to get you there? Like yeah. they're using everyone else around them's work
right.
to then get you to buy a product, which is not, that's not like a creative endeavor.
Well, the thing is like, if your original artwork wasn't meant to sell anything and then it was repurposed to do so,
mm-hmm.
that's where it's also wrong, because the other person will never make a dime off of you, you know, so.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of things, and I'm glad to be away from all that, and I'm glad to, like, now I do meme marketing sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but I call myself, like, an ethical social first agency now when I work with, like, my clients, and I recently did a meme campaign. It was, like, all original, you know, from the photo to the copy to, like, everything. Like, I make sure that we're creating original work, and it's an art form of some sort.
It is. Know? I think that there's more art in memes than there is in just like advertising that you see day to day. Like,
yeah. I mean,
right now, especially visual stuff I see at bus stops or billboards, I'm like, who wrote this? Like, this isn't even clever or funny.
Yeah. There's a lot of talent, and it's like funny to say this, but it's real. It's like the meme community is very witty.
And really witty, like, and sees the world in such a different, in like a different way, or can present it in the language that's used. And
it's just real. And it's like, obviously there's some really crazy stuff out there, but like, I love comedy. Like, that's my favorite genre. And that whole genre doesn't exist right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no comedy movies. There's no Dude, Where's My Car? You know, like, there's no like funny like stuff right now.
Pinnacle of comedy.
That's pinnacle.
But I love it. Everyone has their pinnacle.
I just find like stuff like that to like not exist. And memes are the only place where you can get that, like, that just like very, it's low brow humor, but you like don't need to like be so like in depth about the humor. Like, it doesn't need to be so like, you know, thought out and complicated, whatever. You just want like a quick laugh and whatever. Like, so I do find it interesting. And so now that I'm working with these people, I'm like trying to really respect them as artists. And I really try to get them the right budgets, like from my clients. And I try to show them respect. Like, I've had a lot of memers in the past hate me because I was affiliated with the Jerry Media guys, who would come at me being like, why are your employers stealing my page, my hard work? And I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. It's not my control. Like, but I'd like to work with you like for this other thing. And then they'd be like, fuck off, you know?
Yeah.
And so now I work with them, and it's like a whole different relationship. And like, it's a very funny world that I'm like straddling with these guys. Like, sometimes I'll like meet up with them and I'm like, you guys should do like a meme con. I pitch
it
them.
It should be meme con.
Meme con has to happen. I'm like pitching them all these like ideas. These guys like break my heart because they have so much like potential. Their pages are huge and they're like, they don't do anything with it. And I'm always like, you guys, you have to like do stuff and like get yourself like out of your day jobs and like make this like, you know, successful, whatever. And they're like, dude, I can't tell anyone I do this. Like, I have like a real life. Like, I have a really good friend out here. He lives in Glendale. I'm not going to call him out, but he's a pretty big meme page.
Uh-huh.
And he's an insurance agent, and he like has a very steady like career, and he just will not like make the shift. And I'm like, you could easily make the shift. He just will not reveal himself. He's very much like a professional in his career and won't even tell coworkers he has this page.
That is a fascinating subculture to me of the memers that have day jobs that is an insurance salesman.
Oh my God.
And like what their random day jobs are, but on the side, they're memeing and making like serious money.
Well, even the money's like not even, it's not even money for them. They're just like, they love to just crank out content. They love to
lol. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just like, I just respect them because they like don't really care about the money, and it's like they'll do it because it's like easy or people push them to do it, but it's like, it's really not about that. And I don't know, I respect that.
Yeah. Honorable meme makers.
They're very honorable. I mean, they're also very like misunderstood.
In life or like...
No, I think in life, yeah. No, yeah. Online, they're understood. I think that's their way that they communicate. But I've met some of them who are very like shy and like scared individuals. Or like they're just like very like...
This is a documentary that you could make.
I've become like this like liaison because they all know that I worked at Fuck Jerry. But yeah. I'm the like guy who was nice to them.
Mm-hmm. And you're helping them. It's so funny. Like I was, it sometimes takes being at a terrible job or being in a situation where you're getting totally taken advantage of mm-hmm. creatively to then turn around and be able to like learn from that and make a situation where the people that you work with, like where you consciously go into relationships being like, I'm not going to do that to these people.
Yeah.
And I know because I know what it's been like to totally. To go through that.
I think that's the way I look at it now. Like everything I do is through the lens of like what has been done to me that I didn't like. And if I hire someone, how do I respect them and show them like, that I truly appreciate their time and effort. Like I have an assistant now that helps me like very small stuff. Like I can't unfortunately like hire her full time yet. I would love to. She's just an angel. And shout out Emily. And she like even on the way over here when I was telling you like I just launched this little like mini campaign thing for Australia, like the fires and kind of raising awareness. One of the posts I put up like was flagged by Instagram as like not now they have like fact checking whatever.
Oh yeah, I keep seeing that.
And it was like one post that is not even this fact check thing like flagged this post that was fine but was like flagged for like something whatever. I'm not gonna
the flag checking is insane because it only does it to me on memes where that, it's
exactly,
like a
that's
meme
what it was.
Will be like it's obviously not
exactly.
trying to present a fact
exactly
it's
that's what
crazy.
It was and I was like so mad and so I'm in traffic I posted the thing at home and then as I'm in traffic like on my way over here I realized that it was flagged and people were like this is like fake news but the whole idea was to post something very factual about the Australian fires.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, why Instagram are you doing this to me right now? So I text her and you know I'm like, can you please find me a photo that's like real and can you give me all the credit and find the photographer and no. And she's like, I'm on it. And she's like 10 seconds later, I'm like, you're the greatest person. I love you. Thank you so much. And I have to tell her. I have to constantly be like showing her appreciation because I've been in jobs where until you mess up, mm-hmm. you don't hear feedback.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if she cares to hear it, but I feel like I would like to tell people around me like, you know, like positive feedback. Like I can remember at Thrillist one time, the like senior whatever guy on top of like my department would like for the whole 6 months I was there never liked anything I did or never said like positive stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I did this one illustration where there was like clouds. I just made like these like clouds, but they weren't like your typical like circular whatever. They were like just dashes, like lines. It was very like abstracted, but it's an illustration, so like you can do that. That's just how art works. And this guy flagged it, got me in so much trouble, had my boss below him take me aside, give me this whole spiel about how the audience doesn't understand that these are clouds. And I'm like, this is just crazy. Like, no one ever says, thank you, Oren. You've done such a great job here. They're like, your clouds are just shit.
And I'm yeah.
Like, this is a work environment. This is a corporate work environment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really helpful.
Yeah. It's not going to create, like, the best company culture.
There's nothing that I can, that you can... I'm like, okay, so now my clouds are all going to be just, like, clouds. Got it. Noted. So now, you know, like, that's, like, little things that I try to, like, do when I'm working with people and I'm trying to, like, make sure that the work is not... Even if it's so hard and annoying... The people know that they're appreciated and their efforts are not for nothing.
Yeah.
And like, I want my clients to feel that way and my employees and like, even just people I just, you know, come in contact with professionally, that work is not a way to like use people or abuse a situation. It's just a way to connect the dots and you know, make something good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, yeah, like learning lessons, like a lot of like things that were kind of learning lessons from the whole fiasco and post-doc going viral, etc., that I'm looking at the whole thing as like a lesson and kind of like a self-improvement time, rather than like, oh my god, what have I done, and kind of like, I'm never gonna like, you know, work for anyone or do this or that, and kind of like fear and shut down and revert and whatever.
Yeah.
Which I know a few people that were involved who also were not like directly like scamming anyone, but mm-hmm. were like just in the line of fire and just went off the rails.
Yeah.
And just have like not recovered.
Well, it's hard to do, especially when I'm like, now I feel like things are so public with internet and stuff. And so if you get embroiled in something like that, that's branded a scam, and then it's like going viral, it is hard to bounce back from, or like,
yeah,
to really take, be able to take a step back and like look at it from an overhead perspective and then be like, what is this telling me about my life and like my choices and where can I improve? And like you said, where it becomes a challenge and that you have to overcome.
Yeah. I mean, there's like certain people that, you know, could take this scenario and just really run with it. I feel like certain people that go viral, like now I've been really fascinated. One of my like biggest fascinations in this like last year are other people that go viral and like their whole story before, during and after. And there's just so many of these really interesting, like I just read one the other day about there's like a meme of like this girl. She's like a British girl who's like at a club, and a dude is like talking in her ear, and it like looks like he's like hitting on her, and she's so like bored, or like just like get away from me kind of like face. And so like this article was it tracked her down and the guy and got the whole story, and like it turns out they're just friends and they were just like talking in the club, and it just was like a bad moment and nothing to do. He wasn't even hitting on her. He's like a very good friend of hers, but it was just like a hilarious story. And then there's like another guy who's like meme is like him. It's like this old man. I'm sure you've seen it. It's like an old man. And he looks like he's crying, but he's laughing. He's like, you know, his name is like,
yeah, the guy, the like stock photo guy that everyone uses. Yeah.
There was a really good article about him, and it's fascinating. His whole life changed so drastically. He's become like this like international star. He's like, he's like in commercials and music videos and like billboards and so many interesting like things. And his story, he's like a 75-year-old man that like, his whole story was like, he was like an electrician or something in this like small, like Eastern European town, just living this like very simple life. And like a photographer asked him to pose like in a few photos. And he was even very like brutally honest in his interview saying, you know, like everyone has like a little like ego that wants to be stroked. And so when a photographer was like, do you want to be photographed? And again, he's like a 75-year-old man. He was like,
it's his modeling opportunity.
Yeah, he was like, this was it. And he's not like like from LA. And he like did like a few stock photos, and then the internet did its thing, and now he's like a megastar. And his wife hated it in the beginning, was like so embarrassed, and now she's like so proud and happy, and like they live great and have money and blah blah blah. And there's all these different stories, like Salt Bae. Like, that guy is, like, so rich now.
I know. He really exploded.
He's doing, I think he's probably the most successful meme that I can think of.
He harnessed, but he was kind of successful before Salt Bae happened. Like, he was a chef and doing all that, right? Or had restaurants.
He had, like, two restaurants, I think. But what? So but
that took him over the edge.
Well, I think the difference between him and, like, another, and me and, like, other people is that he had the infrastructure there that he could take now the like attention and like alley-oop it into like a better scenario, where I was like at zero, being like drowning, you know.
So
I think I've been saying this, like there needs to be like this like talent agency that just like finds people like when they're just going viral and just like saves them or like helps them like figure it out. I mean, we were friends, we're joking about it, and my friend was like, okay, so we'll like get this person in a room. We're going to like start questioning like, okay, so what do you like, what do you want to do? Do you want to be like a DJ? Do you want to like start a clothing line? Like, what do you want to like spin this off into?
Yeah. And that can then strategize the whole trajectory for
them. I mean, there's just, there's like even when I was in the early moments of it, people were like, you should make a t-shirt. You should like make things. And I was like, I'm not going to make a t-shirt with like, because it was like my last closing line in the documentary is like, well, fuck you guys to my old employer. And people were like, you should put that on a t-shirt. I would totally buy it. And I was like, I'm not like a t-shirt quote guy. Like, yeah. That's so weird.
You're not looking for like a cash grab, like right at the, maybe in that moment.
Made money. And looking back, there were like other people who made Fyre Festival shirts, like bootlegs. And I know one guy who made like 50K.
Whoa.
But I just looked at it as like, that's just dirty. And it's like, not me. But
it's not your journey.
It's not my journey. And like, you know, the book kind of felt better than a t-shirt. But I just wasn't ready. And I wasn't thinking like, this is my new life. I was like, this is going to die in like 10 minutes. Like, can we just, people, like, get back to work? Like, leave me alone. So there's some really interesting stuff out there that now I'm like fascinated with this whole, like, how does someone even go viral? Why are they going viral? Like, what do they do with it? And like the whole world of it is just so interesting. And like, and now I'm kind of also thinking of like, every time I see someone go viral, I'm just like, I want to like hit them up and like talk to them and just be like, how's it going? How's your viral moment? Like, tell me about it. And just
a viral meetup is what I mean.
That's what me and Caroline did. We basically were like, tell me about your week, your crazy week.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I just got a manager. And I'm like, oh, I just got a publicist. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I can't even believe I uttered that word. Again, being from LA, I feel like I should have one just naturally.
Yeah. Everyone's born with a publicist. Yeah, you're born in LA.
Yeah. You're given one. I basically was, this woman DM'd me, and I think she really was one of the only people like that wanted something from me, but she didn't want something from me. She wanted to help me. Mm-hmm. Like, there were a lot of nice people that just wanted to like talk to me.
Yeah.
But like I said, I was drowning, and she was a publicist, and she really was like open to working with me, kind of pro bono. Like, I wasn't making money. Like, I didn't even have much money. I was like, again, painting. Like,
yeah.
So I told her, like, you know, that's the reality of it. And if you want to help, like, I'm sure you can learn a lot too. Like, her PR stuff was like fashion and like cannabis and like high end luxury stuff. So I was like, I'm sure you could learn a few things from one client who's like a viral like client, you know, like that's different for PR, I'm sure. And that was kind of our relationship for like 3 months. That was like her agreed term with me that like she would do XYZ, and now we're like really good friends, you know. Like, I don't work with her now, but she's bi-coastal now. She's doing really well, and so I'll like see her when she's in town. And so it's a funny like scenario too, where like I had that, and like I had a publicist for a hot second. It's just so weird, but
very Hollywood.
I know, it's funny, like growing up here, and like I always ignored Hollywood. Like, I'd be at Costco and people would like come up to my mom and be like, your kid should be in a commercial. And I remember like that was like a thing. I don't know if they still do that, but like as a kid, like I went to like a casting call once and like I had like a touch with Hollywood, but just always was like, didn't care. I didn't care growing up like around it. Like, it just was there. And I was like, okay, great. Why do people move here for that? That's so weird. Especially now that I came back as like a 29-year-old and I'm meeting people who moved here. Because when I left here 10 years ago, it was like people were still just locals.
Yeah.
Or at least my like circle was, you know. And now I'm like meeting all these people that move here to be in Hollywood. And I'm like, such a weird career path. But then I get it. I'm like, all right, good for you. Like, do you. And, you know, get a publicist.
It's funny that it found you eventually in its own way.
Yeah, I definitely like was not planning it. I mean, now it's also funny because like I've had other chances of being more like behind the camera. Like, I've had the casting director or casting producer, I don't know what their title is, for Love Island.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really push me to like apply or like whatever interview for it.
Oh my God.
And I don't even know what to say. I'm like very flattered, obviously, but I'm just like,
you're like, I don't know. That's
my next move.
Yeah.
But there's just, yeah, there's something really funny. I mean, even when I was in Tel Aviv the same month it happened, like the docs came out, a friend of mine who knew that I was like from the US had like a producer friend or something locally, and connected that guy to me, because that guy was looking for Americans who moved abroad and like left their families to shoot this like commercial where they like surprise you with like they bring your whole family and whatever. And then it like didn't work out. And I was like, did you call me like because of the fire thing? And then like he didn't, but then he like realized who I was and he was like, oh my God, I've got something even better for you actually. And I was like, oh no, what? And so he starts telling me, he's like, okay, do you want to like come in tomorrow and start interviewing for this documentary or this reality show that I'm working on? That it's very big in Israel, but it's like the trashiest. It's like you basically like these like this like team of like quote unquote experts and like psychologists, whatever, like learn about you and then they like figure you out while they're doing the same to like some woman, and then they like match you to like the perfect, like, you know, like
match.
And then you have to like get married the moment you like meet each other.
Oh my God. Isn't that, it's Married at First Sight or something?
I mean, yeah.
Or basically like,
yeah, there's an American version.
But Israeli version of that.
That one was just like, think of that show already being trash. And then like, think of like an international show that has like a much lower budget.
Oh my God. Yes. That sounds like something I would really want to watch.
I was like,
but definitely not something that you should do.
And it's funny because like out there, it's such a small country that the people that are really famous are reality show people. Because
mm-hmm.
there's not much like, there's no like real Hollywood or whatever.
Yeah. But. Well, it's also a way like, I mean, it is a foot in the door for a lot of people having a sure. career in reality TV sure. and then being able to like parlay that into this and that. But that is like,
it's a hard one.
So intent like that.
You have to like Kim Kardashian yourself real hard. After.
I know. And I just am like, who has the energy to do that?
I don't have the energy. And again, I keep going back to Carolyn Calloway. She has that energy.
Oh, she has the energy.
And I watch her every day put that energy in. And I'm like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
I'm so tired. And people like, well, in the beginning were like DMing me and were like, you need to be more like post most stories where you're like talking to the camera and being like an influencer, you know? And I'm like, that's not me. Like, I'm not like, hey guys, like this, I'm like here.
Like, oh my God. I just like got the craziest coffee. Ice cream.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, look at this like thing. And so I'm trying to, I have, you know, my energy days. So
yeah.
I'm trying to like balance that. But reality, I don't know. I don't know if reality shows are like my next move.
I don't think so.
Maybe if it was the right show.
Stay open.
I'm open. I'm definitely open.
But also stay true to yourself. It's cool to yeah. know like what your limitations are. I think that's such a key that's like helped you get even over this like,
yeah,
chaotic time period.
But there is like a little intrigue where I'm like, all the things till now have been like not planned and not what I thought I would do with my life, so like why wouldn't I do a reality show?
Yeah,
you know, they're like, it's like there's like something in my head that's like, it could just be fun and funny, like worst case. But then I'm like,
you can always go down the line with something until if it feels wrong, and then you're right. Like, oh,
I gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much for being my guest.
Of course. Thank you for having me. It was so much fun, actually.
This was great. Yeah, yeah. I was like, I knew that we shared some like parallel experience in our lives, but now yeah, this sure. like boarding school thing is like fucking blowing my mind.
We're about to
mind.
Get off this mic and start talking about the real story.
Here. I know. Or we can like chat about it. We're going to do a bonus episode. So if you are a patron, you get to get that at patreon.com/babepodcast. Or tell all the readers where they can find you.
I think the easiest one is Fire Festival on Instagram. And then my username's in the bio on there. My Instagram is orenjuice, O-R-E-N-J-O-U-S.
And you've rebooted the Firefest Instagram.
Yeah,
as of an hour ago.
Like an hour ago, I decided, me and my assistant Emily, she and I worked to put together just 9 tiles on the Instagram. I archived the original Fyre Festival page, and I turned the page into an awareness page for what's going on in Australia for with the fires. And so what I wanted to do on the feed was each tile just is like a snippet of something that's happening, whether it's the people, the environment, or just, the animals. And then in the story, I wanted to do really easy ways to donate or give back. So they're only swipe up story posts, where each one is a different organization you can donate to.
Amazing. And that's just Fyre Festival. Is that the Instagram
that's
handle?
That's the Instagram. The original one is now an Australia Fyre account to raise awareness.
Hey, and the only good news about that is that there's so many fires thanks to climate change that you can just keep this Instagram going. Actually, maybe forever.
Maybe, yeah, it's a climate change profile now.
Yeah, I mean, it kind I just of love is the a climate concept. Change awareness.
I love the concept of just changing it to good.
Yeah, know? That's a power move.
That's a power move.
Well, thank you so much again.
Thank you.
And until next time, bye.
Bye.
Babe?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.